Thank you, God. I want to share a Christmas message with you. I'd like to speak to you about the Christmas challenge. You know, how many of you have heard of the Pepsi challenge? That was a commercial some years ago. And I just, this year has been the most unique Christmas in my life that I can remember of late. And I think that it made me think of people that are going through life and going through Christmases and having very, very sad events happening. And what's the best thing that we can do? What's the best we can be? I'm going to begin reading it, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Father, thank you for your word. Man does not live by bread alone. Man does not prosper and have joy by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Amen. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." I want to make note that this was not during the birth of Jesus, but this was 2 years later. And you'll see that this was not in the manger. This was not in verse 10. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding and great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And, you know, when you think about it, it's Jesus' birthday. I attended some of my grandchildren's Christmas program in Paris on Friday, I believe it was, and they had a Christmas show, and it was that on Friday? It was opened by a little girl. You saw that, didn't you, Joy? By a little girl that sang "Happy Birthday" to Jesus, because indeed, it's Jesus' birthday. Now, we give gifts, and that's wonderful. That's a good thing to do. But what do you give to Jesus? Can you give to Jesus? And what is it that Jesus doesn't have? what do you give to somebody that has everything? Well, I want to answer that question, and I want you to think about taking the Christmas challenge with me. I've already started it, and I'm just going to continue reading, beginning at Matthew 25 is where I'm going to read from next. You can follow with me. And I'm going to start at verse 31. And these verses, they just mean something a little bit different to me this year. In Matthew 25 and 31, these are the words of Jesus, and this is what it says. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. This is talking about the second coming of Christ. Then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because and for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. Everybody say, you have done it to me. You have done it to me. Here is a gift that the Lord doesn't have. Here's something that God doesn't have. I've taught my children. They say, Dad, you're hard to buy for, but you've taught us well. Money works every time, whether it's a dollar or 20 or 100. But you've given it to me. If you've gone forth in this world, one of the ways that we give to Jesus is what we do for folks, what we do for the poor, what we do for the depressed, what we do for the lonely, what we do for those who are in trial. See, what will you do? What would you do? On occasion this year, I had words with a person months ago. And this morning, as we were coming to church, I just sent that person a text and say, look, I was out of sorts, I was wrong, and I should not have spoke to you that way, and I just ask you to forgive me, and I'm sorry. You know, it is easier to preach it than to live it. But may I say this here? That's what I did. And I told you the benefit of doing that, of cleaning up your messes, is what I call it, is that when you do that, when you humble yourself, when you tell somebody, hey, I was wrong, you won't be near as quick. You'll think about what you say next time to somebody. As the word says in James, be slow to speak. Be quick to listen. Be slow to get angry. So, as we think this year, the challenge, the Christmas challenge, I believe, is this. And we partially do this every year. Find somebody that's hungry. Find somebody that doesn't. We had two beautiful hams from a hog that was given to us. And we gave one of them away just for somebody's Christmas dinner. And the person that gave that hog to us has passed on, but he's still giving on this earth. Now, find a person you don't know at all, or you don't know well. For it is written, I was a stranger, and you took me in. Either that or leave the service. You know, I know a person that is a stranger to me that's working recovery in one of our recovery programs. I don't know them well, but it's been made known to me that that person has very little. And if possible, they would like to purchase a pair of gym shoes for their son. Now, I'm going to see that person, Lord willing, before Christmas, and I'm going to be a part of that. You know, this year, more than ever before, I think maybe when the need and the sadness is the greatest, and the enemy comes in like a flood, I personally believe, after many, many years, that that's the best time to make things right and to take the Christmas challenge and not to bow down and hunker down, but to break forth. Find somebody maybe down the road. You know, I remember a fella. I don't think I should mention his name, because now we're on social media. We have our own website, and you can hear this message, the Christmas challenge. But we lived in Branch, Millie and I, Casey and Kelly, and there was a fella down the road, and he had various problems. And one of the problems he had, it was right before Christmas, was he didn't have a job. He was hurting. And, you know, I never felt like some people are glad to get rid of their kids. I know that I must have mental problems because when there's kids at my house and they're screaming and they're laughing and they're cackling, nothing makes me happier. Nothing. And I've always felt that it's not the terrible twos. Hear me now. How many of you have ever heard the expression, the terrible twos? I've always felt like it was the teachable twos. I really have. I've lived that. I'm not just preaching. That's how I live. And Millie and I talked, and we took the girls, and we bought groceries, toys. Did they have three little blondies? Three little blonde-haired kids. And I had my kids carrying them bags in. And we were all, we had to go back once or twice. And the mother was sick. And he didn't know what to say. We said, Merry Christmas. And we put a note in there that said, Merry Christmas from Jesus. Now, this is the Christmas challenge. Well, Moses said to God, why pick me? I don't have anything. And God said to Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he had a staff in his hand. And that staff in the hand of Moses changed history. You may not have enough to buy many, many groceries for somebody, but you could do something. You could give them a call. You could give them a wish. You can do something. You know, as poor as I was raised, when I met Christ, from that point, I never felt poor again. Never, ever. So we brought that stuff over there. We didn't see him for a whole year. And he came to our door the next year. He said, Brother Angelo, can I come in and talk to you for a minute? I said, well, yeah, come on in. I've got to be careful not to mention his name. I don't want to do that. He's passed on. But he said, you know, last year we were facing a terrible time. And I did not have work. And I just couldn't bring myself to tell my kids that Santa Claus wasn't going to bring them anything. And then you and your family came over. And I kind of told my kids that you were Santa Claus. And he said, this year I have a job. This year I'm doing better. And he said, I started going to church. And he said, I know you go to church. Would you just come to one service with me? And we did. We went to church with him. You know, I'm very serious about taking this challenge. Because if you've given it to somebody, Jesus said, you've really given it to me. This is a gift. This is something you can do for Jesus. He doesn't own it. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. But you're made in the image of God. And there are things in you that don't belong to God unless you give it to Him. I remember my mother, when we were kids, we were so poor, but she always had clothes to give to somebody. And what she said, I thought was, I never forgot this. And I was a little kid when I heard her telling one of her friends, they were talking on this subject, and her friend was saying something to the effect of, well, I don't want to give those people anything. They won't take care of it. Have you ever heard that one? And I heard my mother say, you know, I really don't care what they do with it. Because when I give it to them, it's theirs. That's giving from the heart. That's true giving. It's easy to preach. It's a little harder to live. I found myself, just like this morning, I was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I had lost some of my cards, some of this and some of that, and I had to go home, go back, and come back between services. But I've learned, and this has taken me many years to learn, sometimes if you could just give somebody a little bit of time, you're at the grocery store, you want to get home, somebody is trying to tell you something that means something to them, and you get discernment, and all of a sudden you could see, maybe this person doesn't have anybody to talk to. Millie and I were at a restaurant in New Blaine some years ago, and we sat down, made an order, and there was somebody that we knew there. I didn't know him very well at all. But we just struck up a conversation with him, and we laughed for a while, and we shared ideas and thoughts. And the next time I saw him was at the restaurant. And he said, "Brother Angelo, I got your ticket. I want to pay for it." And I said, "Well, man, you don't have to do it." I said, "Yeah, I want to. I do that all time. I do that all the time." But he said, "You know, the day that you and Millie came into the restaurant, and we just began to talk," he said, I had my 44 Magnum on the seat in my truck, and I was going to go kill myself." And he said, "I don't know exactly what you said, but something that you said, all of a sudden, I didn't feel like it was worth killing myself." And that person passed away. He had problems, but he never killed himself. He just died of natural causes. I'm asking you to take the Christmas challenge. We all have something to give. We can give a blessing. We can give many things. We can give an ear for a little bit. I told somebody that came to our recovery meeting Thursday night, I said, "You know what? I gave you an hour. You know how many people want to talk to me?" Oh my gosh. A lot more that's in this church. And they all have serious problems. And I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me. I'm only one guy. But can I tell you something? A lot of times I can answer you out of my heart something that'll help you. And sometimes I have to do that. That's what I do. Because if you give it to somebody that God loves on this earth, you're giving it to Him. You're giving it to Jesus. Now here's where our deacons from this church come in. They are the best. They could not be better. There are none better. And they have the ministry of helps. The Greek word is diakonis. And it's diakonos. And that's one of the names of Jesus. And it means servant, to serve others, to help others. And when it comes to Ernie, Mary, Charles, Brenda, Sam, and Cindy, you know. How many of you, these that I mentioned, have helped you? Yeah, they sure have. And we all need help sometimes. I recently lost my neighbor to a fatal car accident. And Millie and Evan and I, we went over that night that he was killed. And, you know, sometimes all you got to do is show up. We had no words. We weren't like Job's three friends that thought they knew it all, that said Job must have done something wrong. No, we just went there, but we had tears. And we just wept with those who lost so much right before Christmas. I love this next place. Remember this, sir. This is not a play on words. This is what Jesus meant here. I'm asking you to take the Pepsi challenge, the Christmas challenge with me. The Christmas challenge is to come out of you and give yourself to somebody else in so many different ways. For 18, 20 years now, I've asked you to come with me on Christmas Day, not when it was convenient, but on Christmas Day, to go to our nursing home and to give blessing bags to folks that can never pay you back, but many of them will not be here next Christmas. And I think the interesting study that I did and what I inquired about was that, and what I noticed over the years is that about 50% or more don't get a visit from anybody on Christmas. Now, if you think you can raise your children doing things like that and not give to the Lord, that's exactly what it means. See, if we've done it to the least of these, if we've given it to the least of those over there, we've given it to Jesus on his birthday, on the day that we commemorate December the 25th. Now, I love this here. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2. I don't know if I can, it would be wise for me to give a public invitation. And before this message is over, I'll explain that to you. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then he quotes, the angel quotes Isaiah 9 and 6, when he says this, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Isaiah 9, 6 says, For unto you is born a king. Unto you is born a son. Unto you is given a king. About like that there. In fact, let's just go and see exactly what it says, because it's beautiful. It's one of the most touching places to read in the Bible. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. That's Jesus. And then the angel said something that is so profound. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, this was at the birth, the exact birth of Jesus. He was in a stall, probably a cave, with a manger. A manger is a feed trough, and there was hay in it, and that's where they put him after she had him. There was no room at the inn. everything was taken up because Caesar had ordered a tax to be taken. Everybody had to go to their own place where they were born, and all the rooms were taken up, and there was no room for Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let me just ask you this morning, how about your heart? Is there room? Is there room for Jesus? Could you just be kind, patient? I don't think Jesus wants you to take your light bill, but could you do something for someone? Somehow. Come to the nursing home with us. Mostly ask Jesus, what could I do? I don't feel like I have anything. But like Moses, that staff was taken before Pharaoh, and it changed the world. Totally changed the world. And suddenly, Kelly Casey loves suddenly. She always has, even as a child. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know what you could give God? Glory. 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 You could say what Joshua said, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Glory. You can give God glory. You can give God honor. You can say, this is what I'm supposed to do because I love the Lord, because He first loved me. Glory. Glory. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace. Say peace. Peace. You know, sometimes we have a chance to stir things up a little more than they already are. Sometimes the alternative to that is try to be a peacemaker, because blessed are the peacemakers. They shall inherit the earth. What I'm hoping as I share this morning is that you're thinking to yourself of maybe something I could do. Maybe you could make it right with someone. As I said earlier this year, I had words with someone, and as God was preparing my heart, first we were talking about who should preach, and as you know, I let somebody else preach. I'm not worried about it. But I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share, to put you all in a better way, all of you, even the preachers in this church, to tell you that God loves you and that you're important and He knows what you're going through. There's a praise and worship leader been deserted by her husband. There's people with financial disasters. Some people have lost a lot. Terrible things have happened. So, without looking very far, there's something we could do for somebody, isn't there? Make it right with somebody. Well, why? Because only you can do it. And if you do that for the least of His brethren, if you give that, if you give that peace, if you're the first one, if you take the first step towards healing, burying the hatchet. You know what that means, to bury the hatchet? That means let's move past this. Be the first one to make the move, to make something right that you know is wrong. Well, that's very uncomfortable, Pastor. I know it is. But we're talking about a gift for somebody else. talking about a gift for Jesus, aren't we? I woke up this morning praying for somebody I should absolutely hate. And I saw that person. And they were all alone. I mean, I actually saw them in a place, an auditorium. That person was all alone. And I looked, the Lord said, look around you to the left and the right. And the Lord said, that person is the only one in here that's all alone. It was kind of weird. It really was. To the right and left of that person, nobody was sitting. It was the only one I could see in the whole building. So I found myself praying for that person and two or three others. You know what I thought? Praying for two or three others that I was pretty sure nobody was praying for this morning. Why? Because, see, it's not my birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. And I had somebody tell me, well, everybody knows how hard you are. And you know what? They're absolutely right. I wish all of these seats are full. But I'm going to tell you something. I really want to fill mansions in heaven even more. And if that's your goal, you're going to preach different. You're going to tell people the truth because it's the only thing that will set them free. Well, they're not going to believe. You're just going to make way. No, I don't know. That's what Jesus did. At the end of his life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, there wasn't one person that would stand up for Jesus. And I guess what I'm asking you to do this Christmas is stand up for Jesus. I brought my Amplified Bible. I've lost so many things this morning. I'm hoping that it's up, that's it up there, because I just feel like the absent-minded professor. My last verse I'd like to share with you. Think about is this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, the word says, now thanks be to God, this is in the Amplified translation, for his gift. And you know, not only is it Jesus' birthday, but he was the gift. He was the gift. He was given to you as a gift to get you ready to be with the Lord when we leave here. Listen to this. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is what that verse means. Now, thanks be to God for his gift. Precious, beyond telling, indescribable, inexpressible, free gift. It always reminds me when I read this verse out of the Amplified translation of the Almond Joy and the Mounds bar. Indescribably delicious. And you know why that is? If you really want to know how good it is, you got to eat it. And can I tell you something? Words alone cannot describe what Jesus means to me. By my words alone, I cannot express, because to really understand Jesus, you have to feel him in your heart. Many years ago, as a strung out kid, I asked him to come into my life. And he did. And I locked myself in my room for many, many months. And I put the word in me. And all of a sudden, Jesus came right into my heart. If you ever get Jesus in your heart, nobody can ever take him away from you. Is there anybody here that doesn't know him that way, that says, man, I'd like to know him like that? Come on up here. Now, I don't want to say this here. Who's going to take the challenge and who isn't? I feel like this word is far too personable for that. But would you stand with me and we'll dismiss? Lift up your hands and catch the blessing God wants to give you this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. May the Lord lift up his countenance, his Christmas blessing upon you, and give you peace like a river, and joy unspeakable, and prosperity, and healing, and freedom from all depression and sadness. In the holy name of Jesus, and everyone said amen. God bless you this morning.